Good morning, Central. Lots of fellowshipping going on this morning. Good morning, Central. We're thankful for all of you that are present, either here or watching, listening to our services through the avenues of technology. Also, I really appreciate what our technology people are doing up here with announcements and things of interest to our congregation. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want to greet you and welcome you. We also would like to meet you. If you have a few moments to stay after the services, we'd like to visit with you and get to know you. And hopefully you'll come back at another time and we can get to know you even better. Now, reading from God's holy word, I'd like to read from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. King James Version, Proverbs 2, verses 6 through 8. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. And now, Brother Danny Kellum will lead us in our song service.
The first hymn is number 730. Be seated, please. Our next hymn is In Christ Alone.
When fears are still.
Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing 522, O God, our help in ages past.
Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you at this time so thankful for this day and this opportunity to be together and to sing songs and worship you, Lord. And we're mindful of all those that are sick and that are struggling with their health right now, Lord. We ask that you just be with those in nursing homes and hospitals or those that just can't be here for whatever reason, Lord. Just help them and the nurses and the doctors that are tending to them, Lord. And we're also mindful of our military and the people close to us that may be away from their families serving for our country, Lord. Just keep them safe and their families as well. And we pray that you be with our youth as they travel back from their trip, Lord. We hope that that was uplifting for them and that they can bring back things that can help spread your word, Lord. And we're also just mindful of those that are dealing with loss and or maybe memories of those that have passed away, Lord. We just pray that you'd be with these families as they work through this difficult time and just these tough days to come and things like that, Lord. Pray that you'll just be with each of us as we may have things that we feel are too heavy and we can't share with others, Lord, just that you will give us the strength to remember and the courage to share those things and put those things on you, because we know that you can help us carry those things, Lord. And just if there's help that we can take, we ask that you give us the courage to accept that help, Lord. And just be with us over the service, Lord. Help us to open our minds and clear our minds and open our hearts, Lord, so that we can learn more about you. And just be with us throughout this week. Keep us safe and help us seek your face in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you would like to mark the invitation hymn, it will be number 930. 930, Jesus the Loving Shepherd. And then before the script reading and the lesson, we will sing 537, Here We Are But Straying Pilgrims.
Here we are but straying pilgrims.
Morning, everyone. Good morning. The children's training class is available this morning if you'd like to take your children there. This morning's scripture reading will be taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. That's Hebrews 12. Verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted.
It's obvious looking around us tonight that the weather is beautiful. May not get really warm today, but as long as we've got the sunshine, that helps us a lot. But I can't tell what the weather is like inside your heart. Even though it may be nice outside, inside our hearts, sometimes it is dark. Sometimes it is stormy. Sometimes we just don't know. And this is the place to be. You're among friends. You're among family. You're in the presence of God. God knows our hearts. God cares about us. And those are messages that we get very strongly from the Word of God. And so we're glad you're here with us today. And if there's something in your heart you want to talk about, need to pray about, whatever it may be, we'd love to help if we can. It's not a place of judgment. It's a place of helping one another. And we're so glad you're here with us today. And talking about that, I noticed we had received this prayer request this morning, and I want to take a moment to pray for and with this individual. It's from Weddy Peters, and many of us know that Weddy is a marvelous Christian. She has a prayer request for God to give me good health and my family, especially my children, to come join me. Also for each of you who put all your effort into making this a place of worship. Isn't that good to hear that people say, this is a place where I can worship God? I'd like for us to go to God on Weddy's behalf and on behalf of any of you that have needs that have not yet been spoken. Let's bow. Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. You are great and powerful and eternal, but we especially rejoice in knowing that you are compassionate, that you care about us, that you have shown great mercy and love in ages past and still are the same. And most of all, we praise you for Jesus, our Savior, who gave his life so that we might have this closeness, this relationship with you as children to a Father. And Father, thank you for prayer and the ability to come into your presence at any time. Thank you for Weddy. Father, we pray for her as she's going through difficult times, whatever those may be. We pray for her health, she may be stronger. We pray especially for her children, that they will be able to join her here in worshiping you together. And Father, we just thank you that this is recognized by many as a house of worship, as a people of worship. And may we show your love to more and more people as the days go by. Father, bless us. We depend on you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to say thank you to all of you who have expressed concern about me since Wednesday night. I'm not going to go into any details, but just know that I'm better, I think. We'll see in the next 30 minutes, won't we? But I am so blessed to have a family in Christ like you and many others. Those of you that are watching, I heard from some of you as well. And I appreciate that also. But God has been good and he has helped me in great ways. And I'm so thankful to be able to be back with you today. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. And I hope you can join us. I hope you'll come out and join us for that time of worship. And we're going to be looking at things again from the Word of God that will help us grow in our faith. So come out and join us if you can. Get your Bible out now. Let's get into the Word of God and learn things that will help us live better lives, more successful lives in terms of getting to heaven. And there's good information in today's lesson for that very purpose. So join me in the Bible. I'll give you the passages on the screen. You can turn there and read them as I read them out loud, and let's learn what God has taught us. Now, first of all, I'll note that some aspire to be in the special forces of our United States military. And I'm talking about the Army Green Beret, Army Rangers, I'm talking about Navy SEALs, and forces like that. And that's a very elite group. And I found a place online, it's on military.com, that says if you're thinking about getting into that program, then here's some things you might want to be doing ahead of time.
before you actually get into the program. Now, the program lasts a few weeks to see if you can make the cut, and not a whole lot of people do. But to get ready for that, here are some things they suggest, and let me just mention these briefly. It says 2 to 3 times a week, swim 1 to 2,000 meters at a time. Now, I had to look that up, and if you went 2,000 meters, that's a little over 1.5 miles, and that's pretty considerable for me. One of those days, swim with your camis and combat boots on. Wow, that sounds very daunting. They also recommend running 4 to 5 times a week, 3 to 5 miles as fast as you can. Twice a week, do a rucksack march with a 30 to 50 pound pack on your back, walking at a brisk pace for 5 to 15 miles. Also, 75 to 100 pull-ups every other day, 200 to 300 push-ups every other day, and there's other things on the list, but I'm too tired to read them. Now, that's not the training or the test to see if you make the cut. That's getting ready for it. And thankfully, there are many that do make the cut, that are specially trained and are ready for that kind of thing. But, you know, us, we're talking about us. And we're in the spiritual realm. All people are. But we know we're in the spiritual realm, and our desire is to make the cut, you might say, in order to make it to heaven, to achieve that elite status of God's favored ones. And the good news is God has said anybody can. My son died for all, and I'm willing to help anyone who wants to come, and so we can do that. And if we're looking at it in that respect, we might say, well, Jesus would be therefore our platoon leader, let's say. And he's the one that's going to be leading us on this march. But can we keep up with him? Can we keep up with Jesus? And so today, I want us to think about the idea of endurance. As we heard in our scripture reading this morning, Jesus endured. We are called upon to endure. And so maybe if we study his life again, looking more closely and examining what helped him to endure, then maybe those same things will help us to endure as well. So let's look at that idea together. Now, first of all, I want us to understand and get this idea in our minds. It is vital that we endure our course as Jesus endured his. It is vital that we endure our course as Jesus endured his. It is a challenging course. Let's look again at the passage that was read for us by Mark a few moments ago. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, look at verse 1. And here is the challenge to us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, to really appreciate that, you have to go back to the last few verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, we know, is talking about the great heroes of faith. And people like Noah, people like Abraham, Moses, and on the list goes. But when you get to the last few verses of Hebrews chapter 11, here are people that went through in unspeakably hard things. They were tormented, they were tortured, they were martyred, and yet they endured. The word doesn't appear there, but that's the idea. They stood their ground even though it cost them their lives. And so now in chapter 12, verse 1, which was not a break in the scripture when it was originally given, he says, let us also endure. Well, how are we going to do that? I mean, that's asking a lot. If I am confronted with persecution and torture like those people were, how in the world can I endure? Well, he gives the answer in verses 2 and 3. Let's read on. Looking to Jesus, that's what he says right after saying, let us endure the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And so there it is. There's the answer to our question. How can I endure? Looking unto Jesus, considering Jesus. Because look at the hostility he endured. Look at the cross he endured. And if we can somehow figure out what he did to help him endure, then that's going to help us as well. Now you might say, well, it says right there, joy. I suggest that's what was waiting on the other side of his endurance. That's not the reason, although that can be a big reason for us enduring whatever must come. But that's what awaits us. So what was it that got him through those hard temptations and the rejection and the ridicule and the mockery and all of that? What was it that Jesus endured? Well, we need to understand that. Because listen to what Jesus says in Mark chapter 13 and verse 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse 13. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples. He knows he's about to leave them. And he says, hard times are ahead. And he says this, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now this is talking about us. We may not come under that kind of intense rejection. Maybe we will. But he says, the one who endures to the end, what? Will be saved. And doesn't that say in reverse, if we don't endure to the end, we're not going to be saved? We want to be saved. We know how vital that is. Well, then we've got to learn what it takes to endure to the end. And again, look with me at James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 12. And while you're turning there, let me just note that that word endure is from a Greek word, hupomeno. Loewenida's Greek English Lexicon defines that as to continue to bear up despite difficulty and suffering. To continue to bear up despite difficulties that we're facing. And that would well describe the special forces in our armed forces, wouldn't it? They go through incredibly hard things, and yet they stand their ground, they continue marching on, because that's how they're built. They've prepared for that. Well, here James says in James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Remain steadfast is translated from hupomeno, the same word that we've looked at earlier as endure. And so James says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast, who endures under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. And isn't that saying the same thing that Jesus said? The one who endures to the end will be saved. That's what it means to be saved, to have the crown of life given to us, and we're going to make it. And so the question is, can I endure? Is that something I really need to be concerned about? Absolutely. Because the one that endures to the end will be saved. The one who remains steadfast under trial will be given the crown of life. All others are going to be on the short end of that stick. So, why would it be difficult? Well, Satan is our adversary. Satan is the one that is putting obstacles in our path all the way, just like he did for Jesus. So what do we need to know that will help us endure? Now let's turn to Jesus and look at those things that helped him. How did Jesus prepare for the obstacles that he would meet? And let me just emphasize that word prepare, because if you wait until the obstacles are there, you are not going to be ready. Jesus knew in advance there will be hard times, there will be temptations on my faith in God. I need to be ready for that. Same for us. We can't wait until the trial comes. Number one, I would suggest, and this is an easy one, I think, for any of us to know, prayer is a key to endurance. Prayer is a key to endurance. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And there you have Jesus after his baptism by John. And now it says the Spirit drives him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And here's what we find in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And that's not a surprise, is it? I suspect he was hungry well before that 40 days was over. But the point is, why did he go through this? I suggest it's a lot more than just not eating. Though the text doesn't say so, I'm convinced that's what he was doing that entire time. He was praying. He knew what was ahead. He knew that it was imperative that he keep his life free from sin if he was to be the Lamb of God. And so he wanted God's help. And that's why he spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting and in prayer. And then you see in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, that's not the only time in his life. In fact, Luke notes this as something that was habitual, you might say, a commonplace in Jesus' life. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, even though he had described the scene as Jesus under more and more demand, more people coming to him from all over, I mean, his time was at a premium now. He didn't have time to do anything except take care of people, but he made time for this. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Jesus would withdraw to desolate places to pray. And yes, I know there's a line of people outside waiting to see me. And I know there's so many sick and afflicted people that need my healing touch. But I need God's help. And I make time in my life to pray for that help. And then in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, just before we're given the parable of the persistent widow, Luke tells us why Jesus spoke that parable. And I think it has great relevance for us today. It says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he told a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Always pray and not lose heart. Now, in the immediate context of that parable, it means don't give up praying to God. Just because God doesn't give you an answer right then, he must not care about me. I'm done with this. No, keep on praying. But in the bigger picture, I think it also has this message that in my prayers, I'm strengthening the relationship that I have with God. And we need that personal relationship if we're going to endure. I mean, I'm talking to him. This is real. I'm taking time out of my schedule to actually bow before him and speak to God who is in heaven, but who also hears what I'm saying. And when we engage in that practice on a regular basis, we begin to understand this is real. There is a spiritual realm in my life, and God is going to help me. That's why he told me to pray. And so if you want to know, how was it that Jesus endured all of the trials he went through, all of the temptations? Prayer has to be listed as one of the key ingredients for that. But let's turn to a second one, and that is knowing God's will. Knowing God's will is a key to endurance. Again, it's pretty obvious in the life of Jesus, isn't it? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. We were there a little bit ago. Let's go back. Here again is Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. And it says this after it tells us that he was there 40 days and 40 nights. Well, verse 2, 2 through 4. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Can you imagine that temptation? You've not eaten for 40 days, and you know you have the power to do that. God has given you miraculous powers. And yet what does Jesus do? Verse 4, he answers, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So how did Jesus endure that temptation? He knew Scripture. He quoted it. He didn't have a scroll there with him, I don't think. It doesn't say anything about that. But he had studied Scripture enough in his 30 years, whatever it may have been before this, he knew it by heart. And if you look at the next two temptations Satan throws at him in that passage, both times there as well, Jesus responds, "It is written." Now, is that a pattern for us? Is that a way of saying that anyone who wants to overcome the trials of life and the temptations to sin, should we also know the will of God? I think it's a no-brainer. Go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Here Jesus is being confronted by Sadducees. Sadducees were a powerful group in Jerusalem at that time. Many of them were in positions of great leadership and power. And you know, for Jesus to make a dent in society, maybe it would be good to get in with them. Maybe if he could align himself with the Sadducees, then everything will be much quicker. It'll be a shortcut. But listen to what Jesus says to them on this occasion when they pose what they think is a dilemma for him to answer. He says in Mark chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you are wrong? Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God." Did you hear what Jesus said? Because you don't know the Scriptures, you are wrong. And is that a rule for any of us to follow? That unless I know what God has taught, it's very possible I may fall into error. I may fall short of God's glory. I may sin because I didn't know it was a sin. That's exactly the idea. And so Jesus again shows us, if you want to endure, if you want to overcome temptations and trials, you need to take time to know the will of God. It's right there before us. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. How many times have you heard this passage? But listen again. It's so important. That's what this book is I'm holding. It's what the book is you're holding, or the program on your phone or tablet, that app. This is what it is. He says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." Why? Why do we need all that? "That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." That's why God gave us the Bible, so that we might be complete. Without God's word, we're missing some things. Some things are missing in our lives, and that's the problem. But he said, here is all you need in order to make it through life spiritually on a successful level. And I'll equip you as well. So I need this. Just like Jesus obviously had spent much time in the Word of God, in the same way, you and I need that as well. Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just a 2 or 3 minute read in the Bible here and there. We need to commit time to knowing God's Word. And may I suggest that our Bible classes are an excellent way to know the will of God. Our Bible classes are presented for that very purpose, so that we together might learn more about God's Word. And I would encourage every one of us here this morning to make it a point to start. Next week we begin a new quarter. Let's just begin with a new start and become stronger in our knowledge of God's Word. It is a key to our endurance. And then number three, let me suggest as well, one reason why Jesus endured was because he did God's Word. He did the will of God that he learned from reading God's Word. Now you may say, well, that doesn't really tell me much. Well, it should. Because it's possible for us to be in Bible class every time there is a Bible class and yet not do what we have learned in that class. Jesus gives us the example. This is what I'm going to do. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 34. Here's Jesus in this city of Samaria, on the outskirts of it at least. The disciples have gone into the city to buy food. Jesus, in the meantime, has that visit with a woman of Samaria. We know about that. Now they've come back, they've got the food, and Jesus isn't eating. And they're saying, come on, Lord, eat. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That's what keeps me going, to do what God has told me to do. Is that a pattern for us? Is that something we would do well to take into consideration and to imitate? Again, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. The days are drawing near in this account in Luke to when Jesus is going to be arrested in Jerusalem and he's going to be persecuted and ultimately crucified. And he knows that's not a safe place for me physically. And if you and I were in a situation like that, we would turn around and go the other way. But here's what it says about Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now that sounds very odd to us, and your translation may have it more in understandable terms. But what does it mean, he set his face to go to Jerusalem? The New Testament background commentary offers this insight. Setting one's face normally implied resolute determination. Resolute as in resolved. I am resolved. This is what I'm going to do. I am determined to do this. And so even though inside there were fears and tremors maybe, and we read about it, that as the cross drew nearer, Jesus would say, my soul is anxious even to death. And yet he was determined. This is God's will. I prayed with him about it. I've said, if there be any other way, then let this cup pass. But there was no other way. And so his face was set to go to Jerusalem. John 14, verses 30 and 31. The time is here. It was this night that Jesus is speaking in John 14 when he would be arrested. Listen to what he says in John 14, verses 30 and 31. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Now, what does Jesus mean by that? The ruler of this world, well, that's Satan, of course, has no claim on me, but I do the will of my Father. Don't you know that Satan was putting it in his mind, you don't need to do this. I mean, look at these lousy people, these miserable souls, they've rejected you. Why would you die for them? And that temptation must have been going around in his head. But he said, I am determined to do the will of my Father. He has no hold on me, no claim on me. I'm going to do what the Father has told me to do. And so again, I think we need to look at our Savior, just what Hebrews 12 said, looking unto Jesus, considering Jesus. And if that determination to do the Father's will helped him to endure, that's what I need to work on as well. And all of these things we've talked about today, have I told you anything new this morning? I hope I haven't. These are things you've heard me talk about and others talk about over and over and over again. I mean, we're talking about prayer, we're talking about Bible study, we're talking about obeying the will of God. We've heard that, Tim. Exactly. That's why we need to hear it again. Because that's our key to enduring. We're going to face so much. We need all the help we can get, and God provides it. In the production of any products, quality control is a major consideration. Less than 2 months ago, we heard about this airplane that had a door blow out in mid-flight. I've never had that happen, I'm thankful to say, and I dare say you probably haven't either. But while they were up in the air at 15,000 feet, I believe it was, the door just blew out. And the rest of the time until they could land, can't imagine. They learned later there was some problems in the manufacture of the fuselage. In fact, there were two holes that were misdrilled. Two holes. I mean, that's all that I've come across. Maybe it's more than that. But that shows how critical it is that you pay close attention when you're dealing with something with high stakes, like an airline that flies at that kind of altitude. Well, we're flying our lives toward eternity. You don't get any higher stakes than that. And so should quality control be an issue in our mind? And what do I mean by that? Is my life the way God thinks it should be? Am I developing that relationship with Him? Am I giving Him my greatest attention by spending time in the Word? And then am I following through by doing the things that God calls upon me to do? This is not just preacher talk. This is soul talk. Our souls are in the balance. And I urge you to take very seriously the things that Jesus took seriously in order to endure. Are you a Christian this morning? That's the first question. And if you're not a Christian, you have to make the decision. Do I believe in Jesus or not? And you can put off that decision, but that is a decision to put off the decision. It's not the right decision. You need to make that decision right now. Do I believe He is the Son of God? And will I turn away from whatever He tells me is a sin, repenting of it? Will I confess Him before others as God's Son? And will I obey His command to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins? That's what Jesus said. Will I do that? And we pray that you'll make those decisions right now. And we'll be glad to help you to know that you are perfectly aligned with God, doing the things that He has taught you to do. And then from there on, we continue faithfully. And if there's anything in our lives now as children of God that is sinful, it is imperative that we repent. It is imperative that we repent and pray for forgiveness. And if we can help you with that, we urge you to come as we stand together and sing.
Thank you.
seated, please. Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing number 269 Thomas song.
You know, on the first day of the week, we often try to let our minds think back on the cross and on Jesus, how he died for us, for the suffering and for, you know, for him being hanged on the cross and dying for our sins and then being resurrected. What a miraculous thing to happen. I also think on the first day of the week, as we as Christians come together to worship God and to praise God, how this time was set aside for us to partake of the Lord's Supper and have that remembrance and know that he is God's beloved Son in whom he's well pleased. And know that famous quotation of Peter when he confessed who Jesus was. And knowing how Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost and offered that salvation, 3,000 people responded. And I think that's our blessing here today. So as we partake the bread and partake of the cup and remember Christ's body and blood, let's pray about those things. Let's be sure we clear our mind of the sins that we may or may not have committed, known to committed, and understand that that blood continues to cleanse us as long as we have a penitent heart. Let's pray for the bread. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have to commune with Christ's body, to know that this bread is a representation of that flesh that hung upon the cross so that we might have hope of eternal life. We pray that all of us that partake of this bread will do so in a worthy manner. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Let's pray once again. Our Heavenly Father, we also come to you thanking you for Christ and the blood that was shed. And what an honor it is for us to partake of this cup, which is in representation of Christ's blood. Please help us do so also in a manner well pleased in thy sight, with pure hearts and pure hands. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, we also have an opportunity to give. It's impossible for us to give what God gave, but it is possible for us to further the church and to grow the church and grow Christians so that they can come together on the first day of the week and celebrate the death of Christ as well, but also celebrate with Christians who are here in worship and praise to God, which is the very reason the church was set up. It's set up for us. So as we think about that, when we think about giving, not just today, but every first day of the week, while we think about giving, let's give that money as an opportunity to save souls. It is for some of the functions that have to take place in the church. But the church here is also to save souls. So any money we give, and all the money we give, will be to save souls. So let's pray for our giving. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the jobs that we have, the opportunities that we have, the opportunities we have to speak the Word of God, the opportunities we have to give back a portion of what we've earned cheerfully, willingly. We pray that you will be with us today, each and every one of us, as we individually give and as we collectively give as a church, that it will further your kingdom. We ask also for the forgiveness of our sins and that you always hear our prayers. We pray for these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Would you bow with me again? Almighty Father, gracious Lord, we humbly bow before you today, recognizing that you are the only true and living God. You have witnessed our worship today. We earnestly pray, Father, that you have found it to be honorable and acceptable. Father, please forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings and help us to strive each day to be more like you. Be with those that we have prayed for here either out loud or in our quiet personal moments. Lord, you know best, your wisdom, not ours. Help us to have a greater and stronger faith, and thank you for your Son. And in his name we pray, amen. I want to thank you ahead of time for taking care of your little communion kits, there we're calling them, or communion cups. Thank you for taking care of that each Sunday and evening or morning. There are several announcements. First of all, our annual Ladies' Day will be April the 6th with J.J. Davenport. The theme is Mirror, Mirror, Are We Reflecting Christ? Please go to the website for more information and also to be able to register. Financial Peace University will begin a new round of classes next Sunday. If you're interested in this course, please see Nicole or Ken Misterly. A meal train has been set up for Ivy, Nick, and Epsy Cunningham following the birth of their son, Ellis. See the link in Daily Focus or get in touch with Charlie French if you can help. There are upcoming events here at Central. The sign language class will meet today from 4:45 until 5:45. Digging Deep Lady Bible Discussion Group will meet tomorrow evening downstairs at 5 p.m. Washed in the Word, Ladies Bible Class, Thursday, February 22nd at 10 a.m. I understand from Adam Maurer that the spring quarter elementary classes begin in 1 week. That would be Sunday, March the 3rd. The following classes are still available for teachers: Wednesday evening, cradle roll and toddler, and the five-year-old, which is the kindergarten class. Please speak to Adam Maurer directly after service or before you leave this morning about any of these positions. And Adam is right down here in the front, just raised his hand. So please come and speak with him. Also, the High Rock Men's Retreat is May 10, 11. That's Friday, Saturday. They will dismiss midday on Saturday. Jeremy Weekly from West End Church of Christ in Knoxville will be the guest speaker. Also following that, the Women's Retreat at High Rock, May 17th, 18th. Once again, that's a Friday, Saturday. Dismisses midday Saturday. Leslie Miller will be speaking. So please make sure that you look at more details to come. And make arrangement to strengthen yourselves and your families through these activities. I encourage you to read the bulletin as well. Also, the Daily Focus is a tremendous resource for me, and there is a bulletin board on the outside of the wall as you exit to your right from the auditorium. Lastly, but not less important, Rhoda Anderson, the sister of Janet Looney, came through surgery on Friday for esophageal cancer at the University of Kentucky Medical Center. Janet reported Saturday evening that all had gone well, but that her sister had been in considerable pain. Continued prayers are needed. Ray Markland continues at Johnson City Medical Center as he has been treated for an infection in his leg and abnormal heart rate. He is doing better on Saturday and may be discharged soon. Our youth group and several chaperones have been at the Challenge Youth Conference in Pigeon Forge, and as already mentioned, we will pray for their safe return. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Ken Misterly.
I think Randy did a fabulous announcement for both Adam and I. So, but I think we both have the same call to action. You have 1 week to act. So Tim opened the sermon with some thoughts around the weather and the weather outside, but not knowing what's in here. And I want to make the same application for financial peace. We've all seen people, we've all seen families who look like they're doing great, but on the inside there's turmoil. It might look good, smell good, all the shiny things, but there's chaos. And you've seen the quotes the last couple of weeks from past graduates from Central in Financial Peace. We begin in 1 week. We've had a family volunteer to provide free childcare. Again, if there's a barrier that we can remove, we are seeking all ways to remove it. We have scholarships available. We have childcare available. It starts at 12:30, so after church, you have plenty of time to get lunch and then come in. And this is a flex class, meaning you watch the lessons online. So you watch the lessons, you do the homework, we come together in a class to talk through and answer questions. If you're concerned about what other class members may learn about you, let me remove that concern. We don't ask those questions. Our goal is to help, not embarrass. So with that, we're asking you to see Nicole or I today so that you can get registered, so you can watch your lesson before class begins at 12:30 next Sunday. Thank you.
We are dismissed.
Thank you.
You are dismissed.